Hello and welcome to the Ascension Show. I'm Kathleen O'Toole, super thrilled to be here for what's going to be an amazing episode. You're gonna love the theme. I really truly believe that because it helps me take stock and maybe it'll help you too. Before we get to that, let's introduce our amazing team of amazing women. First off, we have our, let's start with Jennifer today. Our Ascension Media co-founder. She's a practicing spiritual intuitive and law enforcement profiler. Super cool. Our Jennifer Schaefer. Hey, Jen.
Hello. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Next up, our integrative adult and child psychiatrist, nutritionist, which I almost texted her over the weekend with a freebie question, and wellness retreat guru. She's our Dr. Andrea Best. Hi, Dr. Best.
Hey, everyone.
Hello. Next, our prose writer who holds her master's in spiritual psychology and consciousness. She's a champion for children, Beverly Bergman. Hi, Beverly.
Hi, guys.
And to round out this wonderful, amazing crew, we have our integrative adult and child psychiatrist, paradigm progression pioneer. She's also the Ascension Media founder and a prolific podcaster, Dr. Denise McDermott. Dr. D.
And
yes,
I have deep gratitude for you, Kathleen O'Toole.
Thank you.
Our amazing moderator, hopeful storyteller, Emmy award-winning reporter, and mama. Thank you.
Yes.
Mama.
We're all mama-ing this time of year. Mm-hmm.
We have the amazing mama connection.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of mamas in these squares.
Lots of mamas.
And I do know where my kids are this morning. So we have time.
Yeah. For all of you listening, there's times when actually Jen and I sons both went missing. My son ditched Zoom and we couldn't find Jack. We had a real live, oh my gosh, life review, right?
Well, it was because Kathleen's like, Jennifer, so what about your parenting skills? And I'm like, well, I'm trying to locate my son right now.
Seriously, over Life 360 or some app, right?
Oh my God.
So I know where my kids are right now. They're in the room that I'm normally in because it's summer vacation and they're sulking because I have this 3 o'clock screen rule and they're not allowed on their screens till 3 o'clock. And so it's like, it's not good. So we have, but what is good is the theme of our show today. And we are going to do a life review from how to embrace your neurostyle to sacred sexuality, spirit helping with the life review. This is something that some of us do impromptu. It'll just pop up and we'll do it. But we're going to set aside some time today and take a big swing at it. And I think it's going to be lovely for all of us. So Dr. Denise, can I kick you off? Can you kick us off and kind of talk about what is a life review for those of us who might not know and why you think it's so beneficial?
Well, first of all, I think what we love about doing these shows is we like to empower everyone, that we like to bring a universal truth to all of us. And so all of us at any moment in time can have our own version of life review. And so I want to just start when I was thinking about it, life review, even when you say it, almost seems like, oh my gosh, that sounds like homework. What am I going to do? I'm going to write the list. But then I thought about it. What if you're wanting to have the happiest in the moment of now? And what do you need to do to have that inner peace? And so for me, life review is trying the best I can to be in this moment. But I call something my karmic burners. So if you imagine a stove and you've got like family, personal life, creative life, this, and you got your burners going at different flames, you're in the moment and now, but the more you have your sort of house in order, your inner peace, you're staying with your focused intentions, you enjoy and have the most happiest life. So I want to just start it out. There's so much more to say, but I want to do our fun thing where we go around the boxes and we see how everyone relates to that and adds to life review. Because you wore the Ascension shirt, Andrea, Dr. Andrea, take it away.
like I'm on Price is Right. You remember that?
I know.
Hey, come on down.
when we're able to have the funds to do studio, yeah. I want to do more of a game show thing. So, okay. Da-da-da. Dr. Andrea, life review.
Coming in on Beyonce. Anyway. So, okay. Silliness aside. So, life review. It's interesting that you know, I was away for the past 2.5 weeks. Like, I just flew back and I'm constantly living on both coasts, East and West Coast, right? So I don't know, like, where I am. I'm so disoriented at times because I lost count of the hotels and the airports and the drives and the rental cars and my family members and my business partners' family members. And so, but going back East where I grew up and where I went to school and where I first got married and where I had my first child, so interesting that I was doing this life review over the trip. So then for you to choose this as the topic was interesting because I'll talk a little bit later about some of the experiences there. But it was just timely. And I had to remind myself a number of times that I'm not the little kid who, you know, grew up there anymore. I'm the 52-year-old grown-ass woman, you know? So,
you know, when you just said that, I heard Bev's little voice in my ear. Time is timeless. So we have like the life linear review. And when I heard you saying East Coast, West Coast, my mind went to linear, nonlinear, Newtonian, quantum. And like, this is also our grand finale of the season. So like not only a life review microcosm of you. And then it's also, I was like looking at all of you guys. I'm so excited about all of you. I like found your assets and I wrote cute little things on Instagram and the stories. And then I was pairing it with music, just like the life review. How do you have a life review? How do you have inner peace? How do you have happiness? And so the more sensory input I do to kind of help, I'm wearing my mala beads, I've got a little wisdom, little owl cuteness. And so it's so fun to think of all the dimensions of what life review can mean.
Right. So for me, I made sure I got back into my meditation practice because I sort of got off. I got off of my meditation practice. I got off my nutrition. Like, I don't know. It's like I went into this sort of twilight zone thing. And I'm like, oh, I had that reaction because I'm not even doing the things that I know. But I know how to do this. So I got back on track.
That's beautiful.
I think it's beautiful too, because it tweaks, you know, it stimulates, literally stimulates. And I talked about too, the nebulous space that we're in that's foreign, but it, you know, it becomes comfortable. If you have, I like that. I mean, you totally tweaked yourself and I'm sure you are totally realigned.
Yes.
Oh, Bev, what does life review, Dr. Andrea, before we move to another cute box, is there anything else you want to say about just that concept of maybe life review and how you integrate that in your practice with your patients or in your retreats?
Well, here's the thing. So I was obviously there for business. And I'm setting up things for retreats, but also a new business and actually finding land to buy to create a retreat center. What struck me is that no matter whether it's my patients, family members, people in the community, people who watch the show, there's a certain level. I mean, we'll talk about my neurostyle, which you know I want people to get it. I want people to get it. So from early age, I wanted to do purposeful things. I wanted to make a difference in the world. But I learned then, not everybody is going to do it the same way. And not everyone is going to appreciate that part. So interesting interactions I'll talk about later, but there's a level of detachment. Like we're in the space and we've provided all of this information, you know, all these universal truths. And there are so many people that we would want and who need to watch the shows. So I was back home saying, oh, it would be good for you to watch the show season number 2, number 7. Oh, it'd be good if you, but if only you would. So it's like having to detach to a certain degree. You provide it and then you detach from it, pray over it, and just know that fortunately, there are a lot of people in this paradigm progression doing this work. So the world is going to be changed. It's already changing.
So now that you just said that, you're making me kind of in the universal of the season was titled Embrace Your Neurostyle and Beyond. Mm-hmm. And we were with emphasis on sacred sexuality and agelessness. And so we're going to go through each of those. But when you say that, I think the power, one of the things I was thinking, one of my intentions when I was doing my review of why I launched into the global arena was to change the way we think, talk, and act about mental health. And that requires awareness, self-love, and altruism as a universal foundation for health and well-being. And one of the reasons why our team loves, we like are so geeked out on words. So I can't wait to hear what Jen's going to say about Life Review and Kathleen, but the focused intention of as much as we can be in the moment of now and realizing that our words, thoughts, and actions carry an unseen vibrational frequency, which then allows us to enjoy our earth experience, hopefully to the fullest we can, and to have some tools in the toolbox when we have challenges. So, okay, Jen, tag your it, Life Review.
Well, I found it, I love what you said, about the both of you. But Andrea, like, haven't you ever noticed that when you're not on a schedule or a regiment, that you actually find things, like that's the time where you're actually given things.
Yes.
You're not focusing on having to do something or having to be somewhere. And like how many times, I can't think of all the countless times that I've like, because I was out of something and then I happened to stumble on, like, let's just say makeup, for instance. Mm-hmm. So regimented about certain things that I wear or certain things that I put on. And because they were out of it or because I wasn't in the right spot or I was on a vacation, I found something I like even better. It always works like that. Uh-huh. This year has been very monumental. It is kind of interesting, of course. There is no coincidences, but I have a big, big ass birthday coming up in 2 days. So between that birthday and my son graduating, there are certain milestones that you can't help but reflect. And it's also a time period where, you know, I was pretty emotional about my dad not being here. You know, there's a time to reflect. And I know that he is here, but these are huge moments that I reflect on what it was like for him when he turned a certain age. You know, we wore all black when he turned 40, thinking that was the oldest age in the world. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? That's hilarious to think about. We all wore black. I'm surprised my dad and had black balloons. Oh, we had Over the Hill, like, that is funny because back then it seemed like that, right? It's just kind of interesting. But I think that reflecting, but not constantly thinking about it or not constantly having it take away from the present moment, you know, and wondering what can we do to honor our loved ones that are not sharing those moments with us now, even though they are, I think that helps. Like, what would we do to honor them in this moment? You know? And I went to a wedding. Mm-hmm. I went to a wedding last weekend with a family, and it was so much fun dancing for, I don't know how many hours, 5 hours, where your feet hurt the next day. It was so much fun. I haven't done that in so long. I will be doing that again this week.
Yay!
Hey.
Kath, Bev, who wants to go next before we head to the...
I just wanted to talk because, crazy enough, while Andrea was going back to where her roots, I just spent the last week where I grew up, right? And so, you know, going home is always a time for, it's just a natural time for a life review if you don't, if you're not there all the time. Right. And I too thought, I'm not a little kid anymore. This is like, you know, this is a new, this is almost a new place for me because I'm so different than that little person who grew up there. But I think that the big thing about it is like, it doesn't have to involve a huge trip home. Or when I've had these big life review moments when I've traveled elsewhere and seen like people who live completely differently than me. And it makes me kind of evaluate, take stock in you know, my values and, you know, what I'm putting out into the world and comparing and contrasting with, and feeling like I'm far, far away from my roots is sometimes when I do the most life reviewing. And I also think it has to do with being able to quiet down. I think Jen said this. Yeah.
So what we're talking about, I love words, and the word recreation is recreate. So whether we're on a holiday, whether we're back visiting our family, whether we're able to in our mind with our meditation, our fitness, recreation's a time to recreate when we quiet our mind and things drop into our awareness. And it's so fun. Like when I was hearing Jen talk about the black balloons, I thought about, we covered this and we're going to talk about agelessness. I thought about how back in the day when my dad turned 50, I thought, oh my gosh, this is it, man. This is halfway to 100. And like, I just, so, and then when Andrea was talking about her childhood and saying she's not that little girl anymore, I've remembered when I go home to my family of origin, we can't help it because time is timeless. So when we're in an environmental space or we hear a song, or we see something, it can take us back to the feeling, because if we're, especially if we're high level empaths, to how we might have felt during in that time. And I integrate that kind of life review with my patients, like what percentage is how you're feeling right now versus are you accessing another time genre or a feeling state that reminds you of something? So you could have the fullest amount of awareness that we can have. So when each of you were telling your, like, I felt like you went back to the balloons with the black, and like Andrea was back, like, oh, I'm not the little girl with my books. And Kath was like, I'm done. Like, it's, I'm getting chills just thinking about how we all have this life review. Sometimes whether we know it or not, we just have this feeling that goes pop. So, and Bev, Bev is away. And Bev is doing her unbelievable setting up places of sacredness everywhere she goes that are like places to have life review. Would that be a fun share?
You could. Yeah, it really is. And it is my life review. I mean, because when you think of it, it's like my life review with that. It's like I'm so, and I use it's grounded, really grounded. It's foundational. I mean, it is, I work with the ground, get down in there, and there is a compulsion that is nurturing and nutritious, literally getting out there and not only in the ground and working. And I mean, it's like, okay, I haven't done this before. I'm not going to bare boobs, but biceps.
Look at that.
I know. It's like, oh right, goodness. Right. I know.
But then
right.
Also, I have to show you guys, and I'll send this to Kat, when she was getting down in the earth this weekend. So when every time Bev is grounded and grounding and touching the earth and doing something, she gets younger and younger by the minute. And she sent me this cutest little picture of her. She fit into a wheelbarrow this weekend. So she was like out in the earth and somehow she got her cute self into there. And she gets younger and younger by the minute when she's connected to earth. And then that's to me when your life review, and we're going to move on to the next section, but I just feel like your groundedness and creating sacred spaces with happiness and being out in nature, I feel like that allows you to be in your highest happiness.
It totally. And actually, that was essential to do. That was part self-care. I mean, yes, I was able to, I needed to do that. I needed to cool off because we had a break here. I am in the Pacific Northwest. So we have had a severe, extreme heat wave up here. Like I have never, ever, ever experienced any place else. And the same for Al, who grew up in Florida. I mean, it reached 110. So it's been 3 days. And there was a transition last night at 9 o'clock where the front moved out of 3 days and wind came in, and it was like nothing I had ever experienced, and somewhat like you were sharing, Dr. Best, about the 2 weeks you've been in and this space of not being, is like there was almost this biblical feeling because it was such a transition. It was like nothing I had ever felt before. It was like being in a space that really was not real. And I just had this reflection of all the major miracles and such and movements that occurred in the Bible, because the transition was so extreme. There was no segue. Really interesting. And so the wheelbarrow was a salvation. It's like, oh my gosh, I've got to get cooled off. And so for 3 days, I had filled it with water. In an hour, it turned warm and then hot. I could not even touch the plastic and had to. It's so extreme. And I have to just share this. I made a comparison between me as a little girl and me and look at the smile. It's like, oh my gosh, happiness. Yes, our youth is always with us. Time.
Okay, we're 3 minutes into the next segment, but mm-hmm. I actually wanna, it's Embrace Your Neurostyle with Dr. Best is gonna bring us in, but I just wanna comment on your neurostyle, Bev. So Bev showed us the cuteness and the play factor that she lives with. She's got a really playful part, and that's, we'll talk about that in agelessness soon too. So Dr. Andrea, you ready to take us through this next segment?
Yes, I love the playful part in Bev. I love the playful part in all of us. When I think about, you know, I was just on this trip, and in my purpose made me think about being the child and how that purpose developed and my neural style then. So when we talk about neural style, I remind myself, you know, when I'm using your word neural style, Denise, with patients or with anyone else, that you may have been really different when you were younger, and your style has been developed from a number of things and stages that you've gone through as a child. So as a child, you said me and my books. So for me, books were an escape. But also I love books and I love learning. So if I found something I really liked, I wanted to know as much about it as possible. But the escape part was the anxious kid who wasn't so playful. I'm super playful now. And sometimes I have to remind myself, play more, like on this trip. Yes, this is purpose. Have more fun. Yes, you're in your purpose, but have more fun. And that is from being the anxious child who turn into the anxious teen, was the anxious adult, who a lot of my work was to find ways for me to feel better, you know, and ways to make my family members feel better, ways to deal with the internal and the external chaos. So for me to be able to get to a place of peace and then a place of wonder, and recognizing, oh my goodness, God loves me. Universe, Christ consciousness, the collective, whatever you want to call it, I am loved, I'm worthy, I'm valuable. And all of the stuff, the busyness, trying to do this, all the legalistic stuff that was, you know, that I heard in the home or the church or the school, none of that was the real connection and reason for my work. Okay. I was born with it. We were all born with it. We're born connected to source. We're all connected to one another and to that source always. So that anxiety was because I thought I was separated from it, but there was never any separation. Right. So when I was on this trip and I was hearing people quoting Bible scriptures, you know, but looking distressed. You know, when I think of the wonder of this and us coming here, we came here to have a whole lot more fun. So my neural style now, it's still like that part is deep in me of wanting to know as much as I can and really want people to get it. So I get really, really into it like that. But also a part of it now is to play more, to be in joy, right? And to constantly remind myself that no matter what is going on around me, it's okay. It's okay. I'm still connected. And Jen, you and Kathy, you spoke about going away. Going away is amazing. My love for travel came from initially, I think, trying to escape. One way I tried to escape into books, and then I tried to escape with travel. If I just go there, I'll feel better. But you realize that if you don't do the work before you travel, you take yourself and that chaos and that stuff with you. So to be able to get to peace and learn how to do that here and then travel, amazing. So all of the places, the Costa Rica and the ayahuasca, you know, the meeting with the Chinese medicine men and the Native American women healers, all of it shaped me and this purpose. Yep. Broadened my mind, and now I want to recreate that for everyone.
You have access to it constantly. You constantly have access to that environment that you set yourself in. And just like Denise says, less is more, to be able to do more, really. And the other side has never, ever told me, ever, I wish I would have held back. Ever.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
No, I just finish up real fast. I now look at, what am I going to tell a medium? What experiences have I given my children? What am I going to say? It's kind of, I should have thought of that a long time ago, right? I've been doing this for so long. But now I want every moment counts. What do you take with you? That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is a perfect space because we not only talk about it and point to it, but we give the practical tips and how to get to that piece here.
So with this segment, the Embrace Your Neurostyle, we know what that is. Oh. For anyone that might be listening or tuning into just this show, one of my big passions is when you're in the room with someone as an adult and child integrative psychiatrist, and Dr. Andre and I have the same Western medicine training with the passion for the and beyond, embrace your neurostyle and beyond, but how do you have words that ground you and have focused intention that make you feel non-judgmental? And that's part of the joy and happiness. So moment to moment, it's like a combination, the word neurostyle. We all process and perceive things in our own unique way, biological, psychological, social, cultural, and spiritual. And the and beyond is for those of us that we have the Newtonian understanding of the universe and the quantum, it's that unseen energy of what Jen calls one beautiful chaos. And one of my passions for coming up with the word neurostyle was to really account for the other sensory awareness in the universe, people who have high level empathy, people who have clear seeing, clear knowing, and then going on my own personal, like, how do we have people embrace themselves? Like Andrea just did an in vivo example of embracing her neurostyle and took us through her own life review of herself as a kid and who she is now and what she wants to do and serve the world. And so the neurostyle is like a fun way of owning all the parts of who you are, that you're whole and that you're loved. And with some of us, you know, if you come to see an MD that's a psychiatrist, you're like, am I depressed? Am I anxious? Am I bipolar? Everyone's like, Denise, what do you think my neurostyle is? And I'm like, it's complex. It's multidimensional. We are multidimensional beings. So Jen, the word neurostyle, when I was thinking of you way back when I was, in 2011, when I met you, speaking of life review, I wrote a cute thing about you, like, pinch me. Oh my God. I'm like here with you doing this. Jen's body of work. I'd love for Jen to comment on how neurostyle is a game changer in the kind of way she accesses the awareness of who she is and helps other people with accessing their unseen soul energy.
I'd like to put a question to both the doctors. I have seen so many people that I know that come into my office are very anxious, and I'm able to look into it. I think more so than ever, kids, teens, adults feel that rush, that anxiety. And when I'm accessing the quantum field, when I'm looking into it, a lot of it has to do with they're just picking up everybody's energy. It does have so much to do with everybody's energy. It's mm-hmm. not even 9 out of 10 times, and I'm not diluting people that are truly, truly, you know, panic ridden and anxious. I'm not diluting that at all, but a lot of times it's not even their own.
I have the cutest example for this. And I know this, the cutest thing, what you just said, mm-hmm. I was at the pool on Sunday and I was swimming my laps, and this mom, I said, oh, they're like, they bumped into me like, no worries. I love kids. They're like, would you teach? Cause I said, I used to do swim lessons. So they had me teach this little girl how to dive under for little sticks. And she was only 4, and out of nowhere, she was all happy. Then she heard another boy cry at the end of the pool. Mm-hmm. And her look went from joy to pure horror. And what I realized, and I asked the mom permission, I go, she already saw how I was working with her. Can I give her some tools? So what Jen just said about anxiety and us picking up on other people's energy, this beautiful little girl, she started crying because someone else was crying because she could feel their pain.
Right.
Much like when we log on to Twitter or social media, or we hear something. And so a lot of us, the more we're consciousness, the pulse of consciousness is the energy is ascending. We're all picking up on each other's frequencies. So just like I love stop, drop and roll for something, if we catch on fire, I gave this little girl, I said, do you know Spider-Man? And she was, yeah. And I said, well, I think you have a spidey sense that you care about others so much. You're such a love bug. She's like, I know. And I said, do you want some help? She goes, yeah. And so I said, have your feelings. So identify your feelings. This is cognitive behavioral therapy. Okay, you're having compassion for someone. So she was awareness. Mm-hmm. And I said, go like this if you want to shake off the feeling, but use the energy. Do you want to send that boy love? She's like, oh yeah. I said, well, why don't we put our hands on our heart? And why don't we look over at him? And we know his mom's helping him, but we're helping him too by giving him love.
I love that.
Right? So mm-hmm. that tool can help all of us ground. I had to do it. I was sending people love. So that unseen energy is the neurostyle and beyond. Yes. And so it's more than just the diagnoses and does someone need meds? It's all the other holistic things that we're going to talk about probably in agelessness. So do you like that cute little?
I love that. It sounded like you were talking to a mini Denise.
I love this little girl. Her and I, she's only 4. I felt like she's my little new best friend.
I did see you back in the pool at the Bach pool, I think is where you were, when she was a teenager. I think that's when you started probably practicing psychiatry, Denise, because I think that's what you were doing as a lifeguard all those years.
I did. They actually, this is really sweet because I felt like my little girl self whenever I'm in the pool. And I always was given the kids who had near drowning experiences or were afraid. Mm-hmm. And the mom even asked if I would start doing private lessons on the side. And I'm actually thinking about it. I'm like, that would be kind of fun. Like a throwback to 16 years old. But anyways, Jen and Andrea and Bev and Kathleen, I think one thing we all have in common with the, when we say neurostyle, that unseen energy, I think it's important because I know we're going to talk a little bit about sacred sexuality next, but I feel like this idea of the unseen energy, right, and that you can be what's called an empath. So everything's multilinear. Like, so we've got biological, psychological, social, spiritual, and cultural. Spiritual could be called energy. So if we're aware that we're energy beings, and we can pinch ourselves and feel ourselves, then we can then figure out ways to self-soothe. And Andrea already listed so many ways. And Bab, look at Bab. She was in a wheelbarrow with water. Talk about grounding, right?
With a rose, please. With a rose through my mouth.
That's a great segue to sacred sexuality, might I say.
Okay.
You're on.
Okay, ready? Okay. So sacred sexuality. So I was actually, one of my most passionate things is seeing how we can use words to elevate and ask and call upon our higher self. So from an academic standpoint, when you put the word sacred, you get people's attention. You think reverence, you think sovereignty. So sacred sexuality, because I mean, come on. If we're going to be talking about neurostyle and quantum physics, we got to talk about sex, because if we don't talk about sex, we're not playing. And if we don't talk about sex, the world isn't going to listen to us. And then we want to make sure we're having self-love, and we want to make sure we're throwing it down. And then when you say sacred, it's not just like going to that place of just primal only, which there's nothing wrong with that animal instinct. But the word sacred and accounts for a multidimensional way of talking about sexuality. So with that being said, who wants to go next about, like, to say more stuff about like what we did this season with it, or how I have more examples, but I want to hear from you guys.
I've had a lot of sex.
Good job.
Okay.
Wait, can I tell you one of my favorite things of the season, since it's like a season review and life review? It's when Jennifer Schaefer, would you like to share with us your description of your hookerazzi bag? I would like to hear all about that hookerazzi bag. Tell us about that.
The hookerazzi bag was invented out front of the Sky Bar in West Hollywood one morning as I was leaving a hotel room. I'm like, damn it, I really wish I was not wearing the same clothes from last night. I wish they would sell a bag that had a hat, shorts, flip-flops, and sunglasses. And
it's like, it's called a booty bag.
It's called a booty bag, right?
And or a curfew bag.
Or curfew, yeah, you know, I'm like, you can buy it with champagne. If they really think that they're gonna have this girl, they can buy champagne, strawberries, chocolate-covered strawberries, and a hooker bag. But dressed up is nice.
Nice.
I love the
I have. So does anyone else want to say stuff about sacred? So Jen, first of all, I envision you, because I know you're a stockbroker then. Mm-hmm. And I already know you always dress to the T. So I like just envision you in your like hot outfit with your heels, like dun dun dun, mission accomplished, dun dun dun, fun night, dun dun dun. The only thing I'm missing is my new outfit.
Waiting for the valet to bring my car around.
So the way this is very important, everyone. When I hear Jen say hookerazzi bag, the power of language, whether we use the word hooker, whether we use booty bag, curfew, in modern day society, many cultures were not taught as teens, as women and men, to have the sacred temple and to love ourselves and to own our sexuality and be playful. A lot of times different belief systems don't allow us to access that level of happiness and joy. So when I heard Jen talk about hookerazzi bag, I imagined her owning her sexuality and like, all I needed is my hookerazzi bag. So I thought it was like a fun, playful example of the sacredness of, I decided to share my body with someone. I love myself. Am I meeting our energies? What am I wanting? How old am I? What do I want? So maybe Andrea, do you want to comment on sacred sexuality? Go ahead.
And something that just occurred to me. So many of our shows, we have talked about like three things that just occurred to me. Anxiety, okay, sex, and swimming. And they all involve, okay, just start with, they all involve the sacred breath, okay? So yeah. In swimming, there is the management of your breath. It's physical conditioning, but also the breath, right? With anxiety, anxiety, you know, when you were talking about this unseen energy, people could get afraid if they, oh no, unseen energy. What we're talking about, everything is energy. Everything is energy. Thoughts are energy, feelings are energy. This desk right here that I'm knocking on is energy slowed all, you know, like slowly down. Okay, everything, even solid stuff, energy. So when you pick up on someone else's energy, it has a direct, it impacts your body. They're not just five senses. There are many senses. And some of your senses detect some danger, but it's not your danger. You know, nothing is going on right here. So your adrenals are pushing out this cortisol. That's then, I'm coming. Just wait, Dr. Denise.
No, I'm just laughing because I feel like you knew about something that happened. So go ahead.
So if only I knew, right? So that stimulating cortisol makes you do this. So you hold your breath or you hyperventilate. And the answer to anxiety is, okay, the physical part, drop the shoulder, then focus on the breath. Okay. Now with sex, people have all these hangups, right? This tension. Oh, it's bad. It's wrong. Don't do it before you get, you know, before you get married. You got to, what over here, you got to marry 10 wives over here. You know, married this, all this legalistic stuff, right? Programming, because people want you to do it their way. So women go for decades in marriages or outside of marriages without the ability to climax. And that too is in the sacred breath. It is the relaxation. It's the knowing I'm worthy and valuable. When you relax, you swim, you relax, you address your anxiety and you feel peace. And when you relax and focus on the breath,
you're able to climax faster.
You can climax faster. You can have multiple orgasms. You can squirt. You can do the whole shebang.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Notice how my dog came over when we were talking about this topic.
You can't even say it, Kathleen.
What?
I said, you can't even say the topic.
Listen, that dog out the room and go get your husband.
Yeah. Before we move to the next segment, did you want to add anything? Because I have what Dr. Andrea said about your own being awareness of your own breath.
Right.
So one thing I'd like to just kind of things that we covered this season, because I wanted to make sure that the show is like a season review, is we had a great, if everyone's listening, a great show on consensuality.
Oh, yes.
And we broke it down into sacred temple, awareness. And we also had a great show on shamelessness. Mm-hmm. So there's so much to go back and look at the season. But one thing I was going to say about sacred sexuality, because I have it on my dating profile. So I'm getting data. I actually am collecting data and folders of how men respond to this of all ages. Because I really took, you know how actors get ready to be in their scene? I'm living my life as the movie, like agelessness, hitting the buttons. You're a fraud if you put. So one thing I want to say that I do to kind of check in with someone is it's an energy resonance, and everyone has their own awareness of their own sacred sexuality. There's no judgment here, whether you're heterosexual, bisexual, polyamorous, I think part or monogamous. I think we want to, the word sacred sexuality, I really want to make sure, just like the word neurostyle, the word sacred allows you to love yourself and then whoever you're going to share your body and your sacred space with. And so one of my screening questions, we talked about this in our last show, is asking someone, if you're deciding to get into a relationship with someone, because I'm dating now, what their style is, their love languages we've covered, and also what they're looking for. How do you communicate? I think I want to close out the segment that the word sacred sexuality is the gateway. When you throw those words down, it creates more of an open mind and a less shaming way to talk about your own sexuality and to meet with someone and also have fun. So.
You're worthy, you're valuable, you're loved, you came here that way. And it's an amazing experience when you connect with another person physically, emotionally, spiritually.
Yes, yes, it's amazing.
And even if you only get a couple of those things out of one person, it's amazing.
And it also transcends space. Because I experience the sacred sexuality that way on a very high plane with Al while I'm in California and he's in Washington. I mean, there is that elevation where sacred sexuality also has a heightened degree of being non-physical, but very ethereal.
That is incredibly beautiful. The soul resonance, mm-hmm. and listening to yourself, like when Jen's done workshops on intuition and we did the compass. Mm-hmm. I ask myself, mm-hmm. when I look at someone, I can see someone's aura. When I first flirt with them on FaceTime and screen them, am I going to meet them? Mm-hmm. And I've seen the love through Zooms during the pandemic that's happened. And I've got to witness that pure, pure, beautiful love between you and Al. And I think that's something for everyone's sacred sexuality. Someone could be in another continent or someone could be in another realm. We're going to move to the next sections now, but we can integrate these concepts all the time, the unseen energy. Are we on agelessness now?
We are. And it flows wonderfully. I mean, because that's all ageless, right, Beverly? I mean, that love is boundless, ageless, endless.
Yes. And when Dr. Best was sharing just the subjects, the essence, the words that have come up, love also is like the foundational basis of all of it. I mean, love is everything. And I think agelessness in itself, it is one, it equates with love because number one, it is the mindset of being loving and self-care with yourself. And so what I've done with it, you know, we love words. How can we use words? How can, you know, words be one with us? So with agelessness, what I did just moments before coming on is just to describe agelessness for me by doing agelessness. So the A there is, it is a total awareness of actually owning who I am and loving every aspect of me, which ties into our neural style, you know, really. I mean, and since becoming aware of that is like, I am having so much fun, i.e. the wheelbarrow. It was also so stable. I highly recommend, I'll let you know what model it is. For gratitude, really having gratitude for being alive, being able to know that I'm here on earth, being very grateful for that. And I say that with most poignancy and in a really sincere, profound way. E is the essence of me. And there again, it goes to the joy of just playing, right? Just totally playing and being in that space. The L is huge and it almost is like a center of it because that is the love and it encapsulates everything. The E, as we come up, is being earnest. And again, there is that honesty of owning our truth, our authentic self, truly. And earnest and earnestly really has a very sacred, I think, sacredness to itself in that word. And S for agelessness, I'm going to double that up because the two S's there is how important it is to have self-care, literally have that self-care for ourselves in every which way. Each of you, Kathleen and Andrea, really experienced that in where you went back to your semblance of home and earth and where you grew up as little people, that, you know, so there was a lot of, as you mentioned, a lot of reflection and a lot of gratitude that came up in the time that you were away. The N is for nurturing. And again, there's a lot of repetition here, but that nurturing and nourishing is really feeding your soul, feeding it what you need. For me, it's, as you all know, it's just being out there in the dirt, heavenly. And I've shared, I am not a manicure baby. I am a bicep baby. And then an E there, the last E is to exercise. So it's exercising and being physical. And what is your neural style that suits you well for being physically fit? We know swimming is, right? And that's it, just to really anchor in and do the exercise that is really important for you, because it assimilates. As it assimilates in the way, every which way, to keep yourself balanced and whole, systemically healthy. And then there's new, the last two S's again doubled in here. And it's something that you said, Dr. Denise, it's self-soothe. Mm-hmm. Right? Again, and it is the highest form of sacredness to ourselves. And there you have it, consciousness.
Amen, amen, amen. You're so eloquent. We can move into the next segment, because we're going to go beyond and we're going to see what spirit says about life review. And this is like a teaser of more of the live events we're going to be doing.
When you first mentioned life review, a book automatically came up, Tuesdays with Maury. I don't know if any of you guys have read that book.
Yes.
And it's about the people that you meet in heaven and the effect that you have here on earth. And believe me, just stay with me for a second. Spirit wants us not only to do all the things that Beverly's talked about, what Andrea's talked about, what you've talked about, Dr. Denise and Kathleen. Spirit wants us to have fun. We have our bodies, okay? We need to have more fun with our bodies in a sacred way. But when we were talking about life review, I was saying, I'm like, oh, are we gonna talk about past lives and life between lives? And are we gonna do past life regressions and all that other stuff? You know, as I was thinking about this with the life review, there's so much, not only here, like you've said, Denise, but beyond. Like, we have so much information that can come to us. And I know that people are like, oh my gosh, who's around me? Or where is this information coming from? When you get those thoughts, those little thought bubbles that come in your head, that drop in your head, like musicians get when they're channeling, it's basically channeling when they are writing music. They'll be like, oh my gosh, it just happened while I was at breakfast. I got this beat in my head. And then they would go and venture out with more. And the more that you are calm and present, the more that is given to you. When you're in that state of panic, or when you're in that state of like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing enough, I'm not doing this or that, spirit can't get a hold of you. And when I say spirit, I'm saying that as a loose, your own guidance, your intuition is there for everyone. Everyone has this ability to connect. So, yes, I'm very excited about next season. Very excited, because I think we're going to talk a little bit more with things that might be uncomfortable for people still. I mean, I don't have anybody that doesn't believe in the afterlife that's around me. I mean, even my Mormon brothers and sisters, you know, they believe in the afterlife. They might not believe that you can talk to it, but they believe that the afterlife exists, right? Our loved ones from the other side are constantly helping us, whether we are conscious of it or not. They're always there to help us. They like to be asked, but they're already doing it anyway.
What is Jen, yes, on an academic level? Mm-hmm. We did a show called Intuition and Hacking the Afterlife. Yes. Can you just give a description of what you've experienced? Because I have some things, but I really want this to come from you. The near-death experiences. This is like a whole show, a whole season, a whole retreat that we're going to integrate later. But that commonality of like Anita Morjani or that wonderful surgeon. I got a, we'll remember, you know, we met him in person. I'll look him up right now. But people that have had the near death experiences and that flash in the tunnel mm-hmm. of when you're transitioning from this physical life to the next, and also the life between lives, if you believe the soul and the energy exists, can you give some commentary on some of the academic discussions you and Rich have had about this?
Yes. So Richard Martini has done so much research about the afterlife. He has been part of a lot of past life regressions. There is where he's filmed it, and he's compiled several books based upon our work together with interviews, as well as people that he has seen under hypnosis. And the commonality of near-death experiences that people have had is that unwavering, beautiful love that they instantly feel when they are trans, when they think that they're transitioning to the other side. And time after time, things keep coming back. Interviews keep coming back saying that they did see their loved ones. They did feel that love, that they felt everything that they've ever experienced here on earth all at once, all at once. And it was fascinating. And they come back with this, they come back either with depression because they don't feel that love still, right? Or they come back knowing that everything's gonna be okay. There's two differences that I've seen with near-death experiences. But with Richard Martini, we do a podcast each week called Hacking the Afterlife. I never know who's gonna come in. He has a lot of connection to Hollywood, for instance, old Hollywood. So it's very interesting talking to people that, like Prince, for instance, we've talked about this, or recently it was, even Hugh Hefner showed up at one point. It's always fascinating to hear what they have to say. It's
so when I'm hearing you talk, I'm thinking about a previous spouse I had that only believes in this life. Mm-hmm. And so I love the topic life review. And when I hear the data, Jen and I always talk about data as our boyfriend. And we've talked about that ever since we started kind of pushing ourselves out of our own comfort zone. Like a psychiatrist and an intuitive sharing an office since 2013 was really cutting edge. We were like in our own closet with it, like joking that we were gonna have like a disco ball with like witch stuff or something. But when I hear you talking about the data, the process, the looking at if people have had scientific near-death experiences, the surgeon, everyone, is Eben Alexander. I highly recommend the book Proof of Heaven. Jennifer Schaefer and I went and met with him. We met him in person. And when I think about life review in this section, the linear people that I know that haven't yet experienced this awareness, which you're exactly perfect where you're at, once you realize that you have this tangible earth life and the possibility that energy and love exists forever, I think there's like an inner peace.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's also another great book by Dr. Bruce Grayson, who's an MD, and it's called After. And it's all of his studies, that his research that he's compiled into one book based upon people near-death experiences.
I'm getting chills. And I know that we have so much excitement and so much more to even go. And we're going to start producing. And also, when I'm getting chills, I'm just so excited of creating different media. So as a producer and director, we've done great with this. Maybe this is our farewell time because yep. of timing. But for Ascension Media, when I was forming the name of that, it was a response. Because when I would turn on the news or social media and all the bullying and all the anxiety and everything that Dr. Andrea eloquently said, like anxiety is something, in stress, those two words are something that are tangible words we can all relate to. So I thought, what if we created a sacred space, ascensionmedia.love, And that came to me, that dropped right into my awareness when I was coming up with the name of the site. Mm-hmm. I said to Julia Sheth, the incredible web designer, I'm like, is there a dot love? She's like, oh, I never thought of that. And so when Bev was reading Agelessness, and when Andrea is talking about you come here perfectly and whole and loved and pure joy, when Jen years ago formed One Beautiful Chaos, and it was a fun way of talking about something that she was going to be, little did she know, like all of us, like playing and growing. And then Bev's come out of the closet in the last year with how eloquent in her prose. She had her hidden prose from ancient times. And then I also want to give a chance, because we've got this incredibly, incredibly bright woman named Kathleen O'Toole, who moderates. But I'd love for Kathleen, all your years of news, working with the Ascension team, like what this media space is doing, and what you're so eloquent. By the way, everyone, Kathleen helps structure us, send us outlines. She does stuff that my neurostyle freaks out with. And so, Kathleen, do you want to comment on anything?
Our show is called Life Review, right? And so if you don't mind me getting a little bit messy, I wanted to show you something that's going on right now in my eyesight. And, it's not so profound, but it is, because it's about, like, give yourself the chance to soak in these universal truths and give yourself a chance to get quiet and have a life review. And remember my no screen rule? Can you see this?
Yay.
That's when you can quiet down. You saw him, right? I can send a picture.
Gosh.
So while I'm doing this show, he goes out there, and that's the ultimate quiet, like settle the soul, settle yourself. I don't think he even saw me take video of him on the swing right now. And this is what he's doing. Like, he's dealing with the anxiety. I think he's listening to maybe Hamilton. He loves to listen to that over and over, but it's soothing. And I think that many of our viewers will find not just this show soothing about life review, but all the other topics that we tackle through three seasons now. I really implore everyone, if you can, and I've worked in a position where I couldn't slow down, but do what you can when you can to take those magical breaths that Dr. Best talks about. Check in with spirit that Jennifer Schaefer talks about. Do be ageless and grounded and get into the dirt like Beverly talks about. And self-love, awareness, altruism. Oh, I got them. Awareness, self-love, altruism that Dr. Denise, and that's really made a profound impact on me. So I'm sorry to suck up so much time, but I just, that quiet your soul.
You're not, sweetheart. First of all, he actually said we were going to go a little over the season because it's the grand finale. And I think words, thoughts, and actions are prayers. So I would like to, before we move to, I thought it'd be fun in our farewell to say like dream big, like something that we want to see. We've already done it, but like stating it out to the world. But before we do that, Kathleen, everyone, was on the front lines producing, going out into hurricanes, going on to scenes where people have been murdered. Kathleen took that. I'm actually getting tears, but they're not tears of sadness. They're tears of elevating the empathy I have for you being on the front lines reporting the news and in the pulse of consciousness of what we're all trying to accomplish with Ascension Media and that sacred space, the concept of ascended thoughts. Kathleen embodies someone that's taking the linear and the data and presenting it to the world. And now we have the honor over time of seeing how we're going to mindfully ingest world events, the pulse of consciousness, and shift really tough things. I always say Earth is a tough place, but Kathleen has a gift of being a hopeful storyteller. And the way she brings us in, and the way I can only see, I just want to state before we go through our boxes, it's been an honor during this unimaginable time of the pandemic to share this sacred space with all of you and to form what I call our Integratron, or in integrity, and hold like a, almost like our own little prayer group. My mom's even like, Denise, you guys are too personal on that show. And I'm like, oh my God, and my mom, good job, mom. We'll remember that for the next season or whatever event we're going to do. But I feel like during this time of, you got to be fucking kidding me, Armageddon, the pandemic, the racial hatred, that we formed this amazing group of love bugs. And our intention was to empower everyone else that they can do exactly what we're doing, that we don't think we're just the cat's meow only. So like, I just want to say, I'm so excited for however our next steps are going to be. Like if we can find a studio so we can do segments where we can have like dun, 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 the breath and Andrea, like, oh, and like, so with these five, like I'm excited from a directing, producing, retreat, individual branding, I'm interested in infinite possibilities of each of our playful neurostyles to have fun with the world. So I just want to say that maybe each person can go around, because when we say these things, everyone, and we say and use more senses, then we're manifesting it. So I love you guys. Oh, and I'm going to put a hat on everyone, because when I wear hats, I get extra happy. Okay. Who's next? Jen?
I was just laughing. I'm like, the two words that came to me.
Uh-oh.
Billions and lots of sex. That's just kind of what I was thinking. But I am ditto with everything that you said. I'm actually super excited to take what we've already talked about and dive into even more details about certain things, like with what we discussed today. I'm very excited that you guys are open enough that I have you guys as this team, that you support me with my work, and that you're open enough to listen to the possibilities of talking about past life regressions, or as you've said, Andrea, ayahuasca, or plant medicine and what that does, all the different healing modalities that take place that we all incorporate into our work, whether we know it or not.
Andrea, you already sort of told us you're like, I see you East Coast, West Coast, baby.
So I'm officially a resident of the East Coast as well now. Looking forward to a retreat center on the East Coast, retreat center on the West Coast, and having retreats and workshops around the world still.
Yep.
But with the intention of just helping people to feel better, function better. You know, Jen, you know, you mentioned you're surrounded by people who believe what, as you do. I'm not. You know, I am frequently the bridge of a lot of things, and frequently talking about, it's not Eastern versus Western medicine. It's not this religion versus that religion. It's not America versus this. It's not the East Coast versus the West Coast. It's not, you know, and just to, for people,
not Black versus white.
It's not Black versus white.
It's not he, she, or they. It's, yeah.
Exactly. It's not that. We are connected to one another and to the creator. So I think people use these differences deliberately in order to control and to have resistance. And my role is to help bust the resistance.
Woo-hoo! And to
bring clarity to things. So whether it's a workshop where we're talking about weight, you know, I think doctors also, we use certain terms and things, and it's important to make it understandable. Okay, so whether I'm talking about Krebs cycle and keto, I have to make that understandable in the breath. If I'm talking about the loop of Henle and this medicine, I gotta make that understandable. So there's no separation between, there's not the doctor here and the patient here. We're all connected. And what I know is for me to share. And I have a whole lot more fun doing it.
So I need to jump in before Bev says something, and that one of my passions. I'm very gifted at interviewing people. I've done a lot of one-on-one interviews, and I had a lovely, I can't even believe the sacred space I shared with Kara.
Yes.
On the day of the inauguration, and talking about Amanda Morgan, but also Kara's ability to share in a vulnerable way. And so for me, to me, I haven't even done a bank account yet. I know I started Ascension Media, but to me, it's really a sacred, I want to state this to the world. It's, I see this as a sacred evolving space where it's a platform. And I've been meeting with amazing people like Matt Coleman, Camille Jossick, as someone who envisions a platform that then we get the information out to the world and that people can sit on the platform the way they want to and free will. And that we have the highest level of integrity of who we associate with, and we're very careful. So I'm setting up networks, and I'm also going to be doing a lot. I need to do more Dr. Denise shows because that's where I get so many strategic alliances. And what I envision with having a 12-year-old and being a single mom is that a lot of what I want to do is create this amazing platform for live streaming throughout the world, where there might be an event where Andrea's in Costa Rica and she decides to have that partially on this platform, partially. Jen and I actually pictured us like Ghostbusters, like dun, 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 call those ladies, dun, dun, dun. Things are really fucked up at this corporation, dun, dun, dun. And like having this like fun event where we come in and we swoop in and we kind of give people skills that they already have access to, but they don't even know they do. So this is, I feel like, where we're heading. And I feel like this group, I want to say something, Beverly, and this maybe you, because you're so eloquent. Bev just says less than 2 minutes and the show could be over because she's so eloquent. But Bev, I want to thank you. Bev has shared her home during the pandemic when it was safe. Bev's property, and I want to thank Ted Bergman ethereally. He's in the other realm. And I asked Ted about 18 months to 24 months, because the way I understand the universe, I said a prayer and I looked out to the ocean at your home. And I asked him, please help guide me with humility and helping reach as many people to realize their own self-worth and self-love, to help them light themselves up. So I want to thank Ted Bergman from the other realm. And I want to thank you, Bev, and your sacred space and your divinity and your play as a mother. And like, I know I think of you more as a sister, but just your, what you represent and all of you on the screen is divine femininity. I know we have to wrap up, but and if people have already logged off, it's okay. This is the sacredness of us throwing it down in the universe.
Yeah, so right. It is. You. This is us. Yeah. And actually, I just have a perfect, exquisite ending here, because what comes up is—
Wait, time up. No, you don't. No. You are not a sage. You are not wise, you are not fun, and you are not fucking sexy. So go ahead.
Right, so this is it. It is a scripture verse. For everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven.
Love you guys.